Welcome, everybody. This is episode 145.
It's time for the RV podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this podcast is for you because on this show, we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome, everybody. We are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, this is episode 145, and as it comes to you, we are recording it in, oh my goodness, perhaps the most beautiful country that we have ever been in. We are in upper Montana, the northern part of Montana, right near Glacier National Park. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But hey, this is a very fun program. One of the people we met up here is somebody who I just had to share her story with you, and she will be our interview of the week this week. Her name is Alicia Crabb, and she is a retired woman and a solo traveler who is living her dream right now as a hiking guide, as a naturalist, teaching people about nature and leading people on hikes and wilderness experiences. But it's not so much that. It's about her dream. She left a long career as a professional and retired at retirement age and followed a dream that she had for 40 years to get an RV and to travel. And I can't wait to share her story with you. That's coming up a little bit later. Plus, we've got an off the beaten path report about a great spot Jennifer and I found in North Dakota that we just have to share with you. We've got tech tips. We've, of course, got your questions and answers and much, much more with the RV news of the week as well. But first of all, let me bring on my wife, my bride, my lifelong traveling companion, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, it's going to be hard to concentrate when we look out the all around us out here as we're recording in Montana.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful here. I wish everybody could be with us.
Yep. Well, they can. They can go to the blog, roadtrekking.com, and we'll have videos up on our YouTube channel. And I always want to plug our YouTube channel because we've been doing a lot of work on it. If you haven't been there, please go. Just go to YouTube, search for RV Lifestyle, and you will find Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel. And subscribe. Please help us by subscribing. And then watch some of the videos. And if you want us to do a video, that's really the fun part. When they ask us to do a video.
Makes it easier for us.
Yeah, so if you want us to do a video that shows or explains something, just ask and we will be happy to do it. And you can do that through the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. But wow, Montana. We've been looking forward to this. This is our favorite, our happy spot. Our favorite part, I think, in all North America is right here at Glacier National Park.
So far, it's the best I've seen.
Yeah. We're going to do some exploring in the Canadian Rockies, and they tell us that might be even a little more spectacular. It's hard to believe, but we're going to probably try that later on this week. We're here with about, I think we have 30 different units, about 50 people. Part of our annual, every June, we do a photo safari, and we try and pick a place that is abundant in wildlife and great, gorgeous landscape vistas. And here we are at probably the most dramatic landscapes of all, Glacier National Park, with the beautiful majesty of the Rockies, the Northern Rockies here. And we've had a ball. We were out today. We're actually all staying on the Blackfeet Nation, Blackfeet Indian Reservation, and have been learning a lot about the Blackfeet culture. We had a great tour today.
We did, and I'm looking forward to this evening, her program that we're going to storytelling.
We have a storytelling, and one of the native storytellers will be by to teach us some more. And if you've never been to one of our road trekking gatherings, they sell out about 10 minutes after we post them. So we do about 6 a year, and you do not have to own a road trek. Remember, when we say road trekking, that's the lifestyle. That's the just the enjoying the lifestyle. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of vehicle. We got somebody with a brand new Airstream Base Camp unit, which is a gorgeous little tiny towable trailer, and other models of RVs as well. So, but anyway, we do about six of them a year. They sell out very quickly, and we limit them to no more than about 50 people or 30 units.
I particularly like this one because we have this whole campground to ourselves. We are spread out. We got space. It's beautiful. We have surrounded by water. It's just pretty.
Yeah, we were right on the lower St. Mary's Lake, surrounded by mountains on the on one side, and gorgeous green prairie-like all around us. I'll put some pictures up with the show notes for this episode so you can see where we are. The folks who run the the name of the campground, if you're ever out here, you want to stay here. It's called ready for this? It's a weird name. It's the Chewing Black Bones. That's actually the name of a famous Blackfeet Indian warrior. But the Chewing Black Bones Campground and RV Resort, really nice spot, right on the lake, and lots of huge northern pike in that lake, by the way.
Big spaces,
and gorgeous, just absolutely gorgeous.
And the temperature is wonderful.
Yeah, the temperature here is, well, let's see, right now it is about 78 degrees outside, and it's in our little RV. It's about the same, almost exactly the same. It gets down into the upper 40s at night.
There's a breeze,
pretty much a constant breeze. Upper 40s at night.
Perfect sleeping weather.
Yep, but we're certainly enjoying this and having a great time.
And the people that are here.
Yeah, some old friends and lots of new friends from all over the country. And you'll meet a couple of them in podcasts like Lish, who we interviewed, and she'll be our subject coming up in a little later on, and you'll get a chance to meet her. Right now, though, I got to put you to work, Jennifer.
Oh, dear, I better get to work.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
The saga of making the interior of our RVs dark continues. Regular listeners know that we've been tossing around various ideas for covering up or reducing the light levels of various LEDs, indicators, and operational lights that shine from control panels while we're trying to sleep at night. We've talked about several solutions, but a listener named Jan, who started the whole discussion a few weeks ago, has settled on a solution that works for her and may very well also work for you. Let's listen.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Jan from Tucson, back from our second road trip with our new CS Adventurous. If you recall, on our first road trip, I was awake half the night because of all the lights on all the panels, like the Aldi panel, the lithium batteries, and the undermount air conditioning panel. I did some thinking, some research, and we've solved the problem. I thought I might like to share it with your other listeners if they're having similar issues. So I found that black felt worked great. I cut out panel-sized pieces of the black felt, and then I got very small Velcro stick-ons. So I put little, almost clear, Velcro stick-ons on the edges of each of the panels. And when I go to bed at night, I just put the black felt and it sticks right on. And the lights are blocked. It's great. And that way I can take it off the next day, put the felt in drawers, and presto, I've got my indicators back where I need them for daytime RVing. Anyway, just thought I'd share that with you. Hope it helps someone else.
I like this idea the best, Jan. So thanks for sending in your follow-up tip. And for the rest of you out there in the audience, be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it, and then there's a built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button, and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, RADPowerBikes.com, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful and premium electric bikes now with free shipping. Man, I wish we had a Rad Power Bike with us out here in Montana right now. There are so many places we could explore with this thing. These e-bikes are amazing. Now, Radpar Bikes offers five different models, and I think now they have. But they fit every possible rider need or want that you could possibly have. All five of the models can reach 20 mile per hour speed with zero pedaling. And they also give you the choice, by the way. You can ride with pedals, or you can have a little throttle assist to help you using five different levels of pedal assist for that little extra boost, maybe going up a hill. Or you can combine pedaling and pedal boost, and man, you can have a ball with these things. They're about the size of a regular bike. They'll fit on a traditional bike hitch at the back of your RV. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding, or maybe you're recovering from surgery or from an injury, or looking for an extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge with Radpar Bikes. And here's the thing. Besides this amazing quality from this top manufacturer of electric bikes, they're priced at often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup scheme is all cut off. You're dealing directly with the manufacturer. I got a better deal even than that for you, because if at checkout you mention Road Trekking, they'll give you an extra $75 off. So go to radpowerbikes.com, check out their offerings, and don't forget, for that extra $75 plus free shipping, just mention Road Trekking.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. My name is Dan. I really appreciate your insights on being on the road for extended trips. This question is for Jennifer. I like the concept of stopping at a gym on a regular basis. And so first, perhaps you can share how Anytime Fitness membership works for especially people on the road. And second, an issue that I face is while I live in a small city, the national fitness chains just have not discovered us. So I do not have a national fitness operation or organization nearby. And I would imagine that people who live full-time in their RVs have similar issues in not having this local organization to belong to. So what are your thoughts in that regard? And I'll close by suggesting that, Jennifer, you need to negotiate with all the national fitness organizations and provide a plan for us that we can go to any fitness organization, regardless of what name is over the door. I thought about signing up with one national chain that is near our children, but there's a different national chain where we visit siblings. So what are we to do? Thanks for any sites that you have to share.
It's going to be expensive, because what you're going to do is wherever you go, you got to go find out where the closest gym is. And normally they have a daily rate. It can be $5, $7, it can be $15. But normally within that price range, wherever you are, you've got to find the closest gym.
Now, you have settled on Anytime Fitness.
And the reason that we settled upon that one is it used to be free with our health insurance plan that we had.
Yes, a lot of health insurance had a, and many of them still do, have a bonus with something called Silver Sneakers.
Yeah, and it was you could belong to the YMCA, or there were several other different organizations we could join. And at first we had the YMCA, but YMCA normally is with a large city.
Larger city, yeah.
And Anytime Fitness, I think they have over 3,000, about 3,400 Anytime Fitnesses scattered all over as you travel. But if you don't have an Anytime Fitness in your community, I wouldn't buy a membership there, because how much are you really on the road?
Because it used to be, they you know, Anytime Fitness would honor that Silver Sneaker membership, and so we had it free for the first couple of years. And we did pay.
Now it's $25 a month.
$25 a month. For two of us or each of us?
Each.
And so it's expensive. But, you know, we're on the road more than half the time. So you'd pay that as a gym at home. And now, I don't think we used... Yeah, we did one day. We used it on this trip out west, didn't we?
Oh, I got to tell you, we have another gym that we belong to, and it was $25 a month. It was $20 a month.
That was Gold's gym.
And we just went to renew, and it's gone up to $50 each a month.
I think they're like cable TV companies. They hook you in at a really cheap rate for the first year, and then if you renew, they really sock it to you. So we're not going to rejoin Gold's gym.
I am.
Well,
you want to female that you can stand to live with?
Okay. Well, Jennifer's going to rejoin Gold. Well, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But that's a lot of money.
It is.
And actually, we're a member of 3 health clubs. You're near one with our home. You have Anytime Fitness, and then you have Gold's Gym and when you're down in Florida. So
I might do that monthly.
Dan, you can see I've got a real situation here.
Got a gym rat for a wife. And you introduced me to the gym, so.
All right. Okay. Well, but in our case, Anytime Fitness is the one chain that we have found that is most prevalent as we travel. And as Jennifer said, maybe 3,000 we think there are around. Now, there are other big national chains.
I asked the other day.
Oh, there are? Okay, there's Snap Fitness. They have a lot. We see a lot of those around. That's the biggest chain. And I would ask at a couple of clubs, because I think the managers get some discretion on the rates they can charge.
Yeah, wherever you are.
And you don't have to join in your hometown. Join on the road, and perhaps a smaller club on a smaller city will give you a better rate. I don't know.
The best bet is wherever you are, find the local gym and
yep.
and pay the whatever you got to pay to go there. And what we should do, those of us who are older, we need to petition to have this more freedom with clubs that we can go to. You know, like when we chose Silver Sneakers, we couldn't go to the YMCA or, you know, it was made it more difficult. We need to somehow lobby and get it so that we can get some kind of discount rate for being seniors and exercising.
Well, you heard Dan suggest that you negotiate with these chains, get a road trekking rate, and that'd be a great thing. If there anybody working for one of those chains, that's what we want to do, and I think we'd probably get a lot of people who would do it. Now, we like Anytime Fitness, again, and I think they charge a lot, and their prices seem very... At one moment they're this right, and at the next they're that. So you want to lock it in for a year. But that said, the equipment we have found is always new and in good shape, really good shape. It's always clean, and the best part is they have really nice showers and bathrooms that are private. That when you're traveling, they're really nice. You can take a nice long shower.
Well, some of the Anytime Fitnesses are a little bit older because they've been around for a little bit.
But their equipment is always new.
Yes, it's always good, always clean. And they do replace. They are on top of it.
Yep, they do. So there you go. So Dan, as Jennifer said, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, one other question.
Hi, my name is Tessa. I'm a traveling nurse. I'm located near Hastings, Nebraska, and I am trying to find a tour that actually includes a ride on a prairie schooner across the Oregon Trail. Not the whole trail, mind you, but just somewhat to get the feel. If you could let me know, that'd be great.
I wonder if Tessa saw the story we did on just that.
Maybe
she saw that and remembers that we did have something like that. Because we did that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe now. And there is only one that I know of. There may be others. But we did one in Casper, Wyoming. And the guy who runs it is a guy by the name of Morris Carter. And I believe he's still in business. I have not checked lately, Tessa. But if you look at the show notes for this episode, when you hear this report, go to roadtrekking.com/145, scroll down to the Listener Questions of the Week segment, and you'll see a link I will build in to the story that we did on our ride with Morris Carter. The Oregon Trail is one of the most fascinating stories that we have ever done. We just really enjoyed that trip. It's amazing how the Oregon Trail pioneers got through. It's amazing.
That all that open space and the covered wagons and people having to walk.
Oh my gosh!
And you walked.
Yeah, most of the time, everybody thinks they rode in the scooters. Well, they slept in the scooters. Maybe the kids and the old people, but most people rode outside, so the oxen that pulled it wouldn't have quite so much of a time. They got mired in mud. Most of them didn't have shoes. It is amazing. The thing that we were surprised at, why it was so much fun to do this ride on it, is that there are many parts of the original Oregon Trail, which began near St. Louis and winds its way up, obviously, to Oregon. There are many parts today of the country where you can actually see the ruts left by those pioneer trails. And on this road that we did with Morris Carter, on his he built an exact duplicate of one of these prairie schooners. And you can ride in it. And he literally takes you right next to the original ruts of those Pioneer wagons. And he has a great program. He's got one that you can go for overnight. And we participated in that. We rode on it. There's a great video I did. You can see it all on the website. And then he has some...
He cooks
a nice steak meal right on the Platte River. And, oh, my goodness, it's a great thing. His name is Morris Carter. And you can look him up, Morris Carter, Casper, Wyoming, or you can go right to, again, the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/145. And you can scroll down. There's a link there. You can look at our video of the time we did it. And Morris has actually done it a couple of times across the country. So, and he's a great guide, and you'll find it really, really fun. Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas and Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana. They're three different businesses all owned by the same people. Folks at Creston RV are not far from us here in Kalispell. Many of our participants here at this road trekking gathering that we're at now in Montana visited Creston RV. Our friend Jan Seiner is in one of their vans that they let him borrow for the weekend, and he's just ahead of us here where we're parked. Great folks. Creston RV has helped a couple of our folks with service issues they had on the way out here, and we just have been so delighted for the partnership we have had with VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. All of these guys specialize in Class B RVs, Class B motorhomes, and they've got everything you want on the market, from new Chinooks to pleasure ways to leisure travel vans, B pluses from different companies. They have all the Road Trek models are there. Let's check in with our buddy from Van City RV, Dan the Van Man, and he's going to tell us what's going on there this week. Hey, Dan, thanks for checking in with us.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we want to thank everybody that showed up for our 47th anniversary show. We had a great response. We're going to continue those savings throughout the week. So give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check them out at VanCityRV.com. Hey, we got some great deals on some nice used units. We have a 2010 Leisure Travel Free Spirit, a 2011 Leisure Travel Free Spirit, both on the Mercedes diesel chassis. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
Well, as we come to you today from the Big Sky country of Montana, right outside Glacier National Park, we do not have our Norwegian Elkhound Bo with us. And there's a big reason why we didn't bring him.
We didn't bring him because national parks are not dog friendly. And Bo has a lot of energy. He needs to go for walks. Usually in a national park, you can only walk around the campground, the parking lot. Very rarely, I think Grand Canyon
has a short walk around the North Rim that you can take a dog. That's the only one that we have seen of. And for us, it's been a sense of, we love having Bo with us, but when we are at a national park, and as we are here all week, where we're doing lots of hiking and photography, it's a real, what do you do with the dog? He can't come with you. And so he's locked up in the vehicle, or... And this is, I think, not an ideal situation. Only one person can go on a hike, and then the other person...
And we have done that. We have taken turns.
And it's not been fun.
It's more fun to go together.
Yeah, so we did not bring Bo. And we think that it's, as much as we say it's great to travel with pets, we think that we need to tell you that there are places where perhaps it's not appropriate. Now, if you have a very small little dog, one of those little lap dogs, and you're not real active, and you're just more driving through the park in your RV, or you're just looking around, it's probably fine. And here, even here at the campground, we're at a campground just outside Glacier, the dogs have to be on a 6-foot leash. Several of our people have brought dogs. There's a couple golden retrievers in our group. There's a, I don't know what lady is down the way there. I think she's kind of like a beagle mix.
Well, she's an older dog.
Yep, but they're not high energy dogs.
Except
Remington.
Remington needs Bo.
Remington needs Bo. Remington is a big, happy, go lucky golden retriever who I made the mistake of saying ball, and all he wants to do is chase the ball. He wants to come, he's convinced I've got a ball hidden in our RV.
He's convinced Mike's holding out on him. mean, we got a ball in here.
But our point is that if you want to do a lot of hiking, a national park is probably not the place to bring your dog. We are working on a video while we're out here that shows a lot. We're going to just show a lot of the pictures why we love Glacier. And we were on the trail Sunday night, and Jennifer just did a little stand up and said, you know, hey, you know, this is the trail. This really, you can't bring a dog on these trails. No longer did we finish that.
And I said, Mike, look, there was a deer.
I mean, 20 feet from us.
Oh, it was very, very close. And it wouldn't have worked having a dog. Bo would have barked and gone crazy. And I don't know what the deer just would have run away. But the dogs just can't go on the trails.
There is also strong evidence that bear consider a dog an enemy and will, and just the presence of a dog on a trail, if a bear is there, will provoke an attack. There is increasing evidence that's the case. The fact of the matter is the National Park Service cites that, the danger that a dog on the trail poses because of wildlife. Moose and bear consider dogs predators or rivals, and they will go after them. Just even if your dog doesn't bark at them, they will go after them. So I know we all love our dogs. That's a rule I actually respect. I think that the National Park Service is absolutely right in restricting the use of dogs. So there are places that it's not appropriate. And if you do have a dog and you leave them in your van too long, it's going to get too hot.
And I don't care what anybody says. Even when they allow you to take your dog for a walk, that little six-foot leash, you go, oh, my dog's a good dog. I'll let him loose. He'll come right back, or she'll come right back. And that's the 50-50 thing, no matter how good your dog is.
We had an interview with the pet detective a few months ago on the podcast, and she said that people say exactly that. And it's that strange circumstance that something spooks your dog, and many people lose their dogs. They run off in the wilderness and are never found again. They become prey.
We had that experience just camping once. We were up in the woods in northern Michigan with a group of people, and one person's dog,
Margie's dog, yeah,
ran off with the coyotes.
Yeah, that's what was our joke. She's out running with the coyotes, and it was just a little beagle-like dog, and we were all camping in a boondocking spot that we have in northern Michigan, and her dog, it came time to leave. It had gone, never came back. So everybody looked and looked and looked, and then everybody had to get back to work the next day. So they went back to work, and the dog wasn't there. The dog wasn't there. She was devastated. So she went up the next weekend, and there the dog was, right where the campsite was. So the coyotes didn't get him.
And I did good because I dumped out the dog food on the ground.
Yeah.
And the dog came back, so he had a little bit of food, but a happy ending to it. Story that could have been a tragedy.
It is. So all this is to say, it's great to travel with our pets, but sometimes there are places that are not appropriate, and it's never appropriate in a strange place to let your pet off the leash.
And we miss Bo terribly. You know, he's our little buddy, but he would not have been happy here. There's no fenced-in area for him to run.
There was a deer right outside us this morning when I woke up.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't fit in right here.
And that frustrates the dog to have a deer in your front yard. We love to look at him, but that's not fair to the dog. So anyway, so there you go. Our Traveling with Pets section is brought to you by our friends at Dozer's Dental Chews. I should say Bo's friend. Dozer's Dental Chews. He loves these things. They're the treat that get him to sit and come and do all sorts of stuff. Dozer's Dental Chews are an all-natural and a healthy treat that your dog will love too, I bet. It's available at retailers and pet shops across the country, also through Amazon. The thing about Dozer's, they're 100% all-natural ingredients. They're gluten-free. They're made in the USA, right in upstate New York. They're low in fat. There's no artificial coloring, no artificial preservatives. They clean your dog's teeth. They're available in different sizes for different dogs, so you can check them all out. If your pet store doesn't have them, tell them you want to try them. Get some Dozer's, Dozers.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question? Leave a comment? Click the Leave Voicemail button on the right side of the RVPodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Well, our guest on the interview of the week this week is a woman that we met right here at our Road Trekking Gathering. And you'll hear at the end of the interview, I did the interview last night. We had been around a campfire, and it was just getting dark, and so we went over to a quiet picnic table so all the noise of the other participants wouldn't noise. We were just attacked by mosquitoes. And you probably can't tell in the interview until the very end, but she was just swatting mosquitoes like crazy. I was trying to hold the recorder, so I couldn't move around too much, and they were getting me as well. But anyway, our guest is a woman named Alicia Crabb. Alicia is retired. She's a solo traveler. And the reason I wanted to have her on the program is because she is proof positive of having a dream and achieving it. Right now, she is living her dream in retirement, working as a guide and taking people, leading them on hikes and wilderness experiences for an organization known as Road Scholar, which is a terrific not-for-profit group that's dedicated to providing educational travel. Road Scholar offers 6,500 educational tours in all 50 states and 150 countries. Now, Alicia, who everybody calls Lish, has a dream job of working much of the year leading hikes and guiding people around and experiencing Yellowstone National Park. So this is like a busman's or a buswoman's holiday for her. She's just a six-hour drive south where she works at Yellowstone, but she's up joining us on our photo safari here at Glacier National Park. That's how much she loves the outdoors. And as we got talking with her, I just knew I had to share her story. I wish you were around the campfire to hear it, but I think the interviewer will do a pretty good job of introducing you to her. Her story is about the power of a dream. And in Lish's case, it was a dream that involved traveling the country by RV, experiencing nature in all of its marvelous beauty. And she had that dream throughout a long, successful professional career, but she began to really live it when she retired. I think you'll find her story one of inspiration and joy, all focused on the RV lifestyle. Join me now in meeting Lish. Well, Lish, as everybody calls her, joins us right now. And let's start off by telling everybody how you got interested in RVing.
So when I was 25, I planned a trip around the country. I didn't travel much as a child, but I had a daughter and two stepchildren. And I took a map of all the national parks, and I took a route, southern route to San Francisco, northern route across the national parks in the northern part, and knew that someday I would come back and really be in them. And we were in a Volkswagen van that didn't start. We had to push it to start, and we spent $800 in the whole month for food, gas, and camping.
$800, the whole country, all the national parks. And that started the wanderlust.
Yes, I definitely have wanderlust.
However,
and still have it.
However, real life intruded, and by training, you are a naturalist and a doctor of chiropractic.
Yes.
So you obviously had to go and earn a living for some years. And tell us how this dream never quite left.
So I did travel short trips in the country when I could, but always knew I wanted to RV when I retired. And as I was practicing, I would go to RV shows, and I cut out a picture of a road trek, and I put it on my mirror probably 10 to 15 years ago. And I looked at it every day, and I said, someday that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to really see the country and not do it in a month.
And you had that dream for 15 years.
I had the road trek dream.
Yeah.
I had the other dream for 40 years.
40 years. Mm-hmm. So you reached retirement age. Mm-hmm. And you quit your practice? Tell us how you ended up and what you do now.
So I started taking some naturalist classes at Yellowstone Institute in Lamar Valley in Yellowstone. And
what is a naturalist class? What did you
learn? We studied the wolves, we studied the bears, we studied the environment, we studied the geology and the history. And every time I went for 3 years in a row. Every time I went, I didn't want to leave. And then the last time I was there, I asked them if they needed volunteers for the next summer. And they said, yes. And I said, can I apply? She said, you can have a job. And so I retired that winter.
You retired. And then where did your RV come into the picture? When did you get that?
I actually got an RV before I retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're now driving a Road Trek 210, popular.
Yes.
What year?
2013.
And all the way from Cape Cod to Yellowstone, where you volunteered for years, and then things changed there too.
Yes, and then I started someone who worked at the Lamar Buffalo Ranch, who's a pretty famous naturalist and hiker, said, "Why don't you work with me at Road Scholar, and you can enjoy the work, and you can get paid."
tell everybody what Road Scholar is.
So Road Scholar used to be called Elder Hostel, and they emphasize educational processes as you're hiking or as you're touring.
So if I'm somebody who wants to learn, I buy a week's package,
yes.
A 2 weeks package.
Yes.
What kind of things can you do with the
and
Road Scholar?
The Road Scholar trips, Road Scholar is all around the world. Has various trips on boats and in hiking and just educational programs of history in various parts of the world and all over America. And in Yellowstone, they do hiking courses and they do general educational courses about the history of the volcanoes and the geology.
So you are out at Yellowstone,
yes.
Spending most of your time out there. And
In the summers.
We were talking around the other night, as everybody gathered together out here, and we're in Glacier National Park as we do this interview, and we started talking about our favorite animals, and it turns out that's one of your favorites, and that is the bison.
Yes, we lived with hundreds of bison. They every time we walked out our door to go to the bathroom area or the dining area, we had to look both ways for bison that might be between our cabins or amongst us. And we watch them day and night, and we watch their habits, and we learn their lifestyle, and we learn that they communicate, we learn that they're female-oriented, we learned about their life processes, we saw their births, we saw their labors.
One of the most fascinating things I've ever heard was your story about what you called bison funerals, and tell everybody a little about that and put it in context with what we maybe have heard about elephants before.
Okay, in Lamar Valley, because we can see such a distance, we could see that when one bison died or when a baby died, especially we would see adults die during childbirth, we would notice that maybe up to 200 bison would stand in an actual line and all walk along and each nuzzle and pay respect to the dead bison, whether it was a calf or a female. And that would go on from 1 day to 3 days.
No way. That
yeah.
is just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You say they communicate with each other. What have you observed as you've watched our national animal?
The mothers and the babies are always grunting to each other and always making snorts, and they look for each other if one of them walks away, and they quickly make some noises and they get back together again. And as the females will move down the valley or move over a mountain, one female will sort of come out and make the decision, and they'll all start moving.
What strikes me as we talk about things like this is how much there is to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And how somebody who, you know, was working probably a pretty button-down life as a chiropractor, had this dream, and at retirement, you're probably busier now than you ever were. But what's your life now? And just for those who have a dream, give them some hints. What you're saying now is touching people's lives. And I want to do that too. Or
yep.
they have maybe their own yep. version of their dream.
Yeah, well, all my life I was balanced between healthcare. I was a nurse before I was a chiropractor, but I wanted to be that forest ranger. I wanted to be the ranger in the national park, or I wanted to be out there studying nature. And so I chose to choose my chiropractic path because that was part of who I was too. But all that time I was working in nature, volunteering, and thinking about the future when I could really spend a lot of time doing it, and I am, and it's wonderful. Every day.
What do you want to do when you grow up?
I'm living the dream, as everybody says here.
For other people who have that dream,
yes.
I guess it's proof you're never too old.
Right.
Give us some advice.
You have to do what I did with the pasting up my picture on my mirror and saying I'm going to do that, and I planned my life so that I could do that, and I keep my mind open to what comes next, and I'm not afraid to do something I never did before. When I first went to Yellowstone, and the first few years when I was going to classes, I said, boy, I could never drive these roads in one of those buses at Yellowstone. And then 3 years later, I was. Yeah. I was in charge, and I'd never driven a mountain road before in my life.
Now, we're all out here this time at Glacier National Park, and you'll be going back south to where you're living right now in Yellowstone. What will you be doing the rest of the summer?
I will be working for Road Scholar, and the Road Scholar does weekly trips, and some of them are grandparents and grandchildren, some are three generational, and some are just adults, and we'll be having hiking trips, but when we do have the children in the trips, we go horseback riding, river rafting, and go to a rodeo.
It's never too late.
Yeah. Well, and I get to do it all.
You get to do it all. Lish, thanks for so much for sharing your life. I wish people could see this interview because it's audio. We are both being eaten up by mosquitoes. She is constantly scratching, and I am lying here holding the recorder, and I'm trying not to move. But so we're going to say goodbye to everybody.
All right, bye.
That's Lish. Oh my gosh. And folks, if you have a dream, go for it. You can do it.
Oh, we are getting eaten. You know, I was concentrating so hard, I just knew I was rubbing. Oh, gosh.
We were just being attacked by mosquitoes. Mosquitoes come out just a little bit at night. But man, they were out there. They were really out there. Liz works for an operation called Road Scholar. But she also tells us about something that Jennifer and I really want to check in. It's a really cool operation.
It's called the Yellowstone Forever Institute. And there are programs that you can go to.
Oh, gosh. We have a catalog.
Lodging and learning. Private groups.
Yep. And
custom tours.
You stay right there in a cabin. You can do all sorts of stuff. You can learn about wolves and bear and bison. You can hike the trails of Yellowstone. They teach you a million things.
Yellowstone for families. It's something you could take your kids and grandkids and go have a true adventure.
Yep. So we'll put a link up to the Yellowstone Forever Institute, and you can check that all out. We're actually thinking about doing a class out there, Jennifer and I. Yellowstone.org is their website. And do you want to do that?
I think it would be time well spent.
It would. All right. Well, thanks, Lish, for your time and your interview. And I think maybe you excited a whole bunch of us because you can achieve and live out your dream. And that is an awesome thing. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Sunshine State RVs, like I said, are in Gainesville, Florida, but the first step you should make is to their website, sunshinestatervs.com, and you will find the largest selection of used Class B motorhomes in the entire country. And we're talking about used Class B RVs from all of the major manufacturers, Road Trek, Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel. Sunshine State RVs has them all. You will not find a wider selection of used RVs. And if you buy any one of those, just as if you buy one of the brand new model Road Treks, the 2017 models that they also have in stock, they'll deliver it to your driveway free. You can buy with confidence because every single RV they sell, the used and the new, has been through a very thorough 170-point inspection. They make sure that the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition, that every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as they do the outside. Every component turned on, tested to make sure it works. All their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned. They're all detailed inside and out, and they even check the roof for cracks and they replace any silicone caulking. Check them out, sunshinestatervs.com. Once again, that website is sunshinestatervs.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, we're out here at Glacier National Park, and I think we cannot warn people enough that when you are outside, have bear spray. Because especially right now, it was a pretty tough winter out here. And the grizzly bears, which are the most dangerous, but black bear too, they're not at the higher elevations that they normally are at this time because it was so cold and it was a late summer. So they're everywhere. We saw, we heard a story at the Mini Glacier Lodge Hotel the other night. And we were there and we saw Mama Moose and her baby that were running across the opposite side of the lake. We couldn't figure out why.
And we thought they were playing because we saw the calf running as fast as it could run and mom was behind. They did that, was it three times?
Two or three times.
Twice,
and,
I know.
And then we learned from somebody who works there that a grizzly was chasing him. And apparently the day before, the grizzly had gotten one of the two
she had,
calves that
yeah,
the,
she had,
the moose had.
Two.
So there was one left, and he is coming back for seconds. And not exactly the kind of thing you want to watch as everybody was eating dinner in the hotel lodge.
Hey, they're
there,
eating
but,
dinner.
But hey, it's
bears
real. Bears
got to eat too.
And then we stayed at for a while at the there's a Mini Glacier campground, and we pulled in there, and we later learned that a grizzly was walking through there. So you got to carry bear spray out there. And I bring that up because here it's the same at Yellowstone at this time of year, same here at Glacier, anywhere in bear country, have bear spray. You know, grizzlies can be extremely aggressive. We bring that up to point out that things can and do happen. For example, in Alaska, at a campground that was just north of Anchorage over the weekend, three teens were mauled by a grizzly bear. And the story goes on. They were mauled. They came across this grizzly bear and her two cubs while they were just hiking north of Anchorage in an area where there have been other aggressive bears that they have been finding this year. Whether they knew that or not, who knows, but they were attacked. They were not they were able to get back to where they had parked their car and call for help, but they were chased back there by the bear. And when police showed up and emergency workers came to rescue these kids, the bear charged at officers. They shot at it, and it took off into the woods, and armed game officers took up the search. They never did find the bear. They don't think it was seriously hurt. But the point is you got to be very careful when you're in bear country and make some noise. They can be extremely aggressive. Then we have three stories this week we want to share from you, all from Yellowstone National Park. You know, there's a lot of people at Yellowstone right now. The traffic is horrendous. We're hearing from people who are at our gathering up here at Glacier who had came through Yellowstone that it's the worst traffic they've ever seen. But there's other stories happening at Yellowstone. Many of you know that Yellowstone is a very active volcanic area, and they have a lot of earthquakes. They have swarms of earthquakes, and in fact, they have had one over the last week that one of the earthquakes hit 4.5 magnitude, and they've been getting a swarm of them. As of Monday morning, they had recorded 235 earthquakes in the area. They get about 2,000 every year, but they've had 235 over the last week in this swarm. Officials say it's normal activity, that they're small. Usually most are small. That 4.5 was one of the biggest they've had in several years, but there's no worry. It's normal tectonic stress in the Earth's crust, officials say. And University of Utah seismologists were there, and there's nothing volcanic in nature. They say you don't have to worry, but if you're there, it can be a bit disconcerting when you have the Earth moving. A more serious story involved a North Carolina man who is, at last check here as we're going to record this episode, is still in critical condition. He fell into Yellowstone National Park, one of the hot springs there. 21-year-old guy from North Carolina, severe burns. He was with a group of other people. And apparently, this happened at night. We don't know how dark it was. They were investigating then, trying to find out how exactly he fell in. But these thermal features are extremely dangerous. Hot springs, in fact, at Yellowstone have killed or injured more people than any other natural feature. So you got to stay on those boardwalks. And this guy works for Zantara Parks and Resorts, which is the hospitality company that works with Yellowstone at many of the stores and restaurants. And so he was out apparently with some of his friends when this all happened, and still don't know the details, but you do not want to go off those boardwalks or trails. One other story, oh, by the way, the guy was airlifted to a hospital and listed in critical condition, they said. So one other sad story from Yellowstone, and a reminder about how cold the water is. And this was a kayak guide who works at Yellowstone. It was his first season on the job, and he died while he was trying to help rescue a park visitor who had capsized on Yellowstone Lake. Timothy Ryan Conant, 23, of Salt Lake City, died in the West Thumb area of the lake, says the National Park Service. He was among three guides on a kayaking excursion with a group of nine tourists, and he saw somebody had capsized, and he jumped off to try and save this guy, and the water is so cold that he died of hypothermia, and it's a sad story. The water is like 43 degrees, and it's probably a little colder than that right now because Yellowstone's just come out of its winter season, and they even had snow a week or so ago out there. So sad story. Guy's trying to save somebody else, and in turn he died. And then a story from those of you who are in Northwest Washington. You should know this is a trend that's happening across the country, too. But in Washington, Washington state troopers are going to be issuing tickets to any driver they find who stay in the left lane. They're actually running this week a sting operation there, looking for drivers who kind of camp in the left lane. And they go, you know, and just stay in that left lane. And I'm going to speed limit, and they can just slow down if that's what they want. Unfortunately, a lot of those people are driving RVs, and troopers are conducting statewide patrols this weekend. They're cracking down on drivers who are driving that left lane for extended periods. $136 ticket, so watch it. Final story. I got to share this, because I'm a drone pilot. Many of you know I have a little drone. Drones get a lot of bad rep, but hey, out in Colorado, they helped find two lost hikers and their yellow lab. That's a pretty good story. Two lost hikers, their yellow Labrador, located with the help of a drone after they wandered off a trail in Pike National Forest in Colorado. Douglas County Search and Rescue used the drone. Two men were hiking the Devil's Head Trail. They were lost. They did have cell phone coverage, so they called 911. Search and Rescue came out. They stuck a drone up there, and they found them, and the three were all extremely excited to have been rescued. But thanks to the drone, which made spotting them easier. All right, that's our RV news of the week, and it's brought to you, as it is every week, by Aldi, A-L-D-E, which is the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi hydronic system brings many features and benefits that you can't find with any other product. It's a silent heat. The Aldi system is a radiant heat. It's kind of that hot water heat that comes from baseboards and high-end estate-type homes. For an RV, they are so efficient because the whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It extends the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. And because it's that silent radiant heat, you don't have that irritating noise from the constant run of your heater, of a propane forced air heater, nor do you have that dryness that forced air brings. The Aldi system has lots of options. Our favorite one is floor heat, heated floors on those cold mornings or chilly evenings when you're inside the RV and you're padding around barefoot. Oh, it's nice to have that heated floor. Check them out. They're available on many, many different RVs now. New Camp and Airstream, and of course, all Road Trek RVs have them. Aldi, A-L-D-E. It's the only name in heat that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, I got to tell you, I am out here at this campground, which is right on the edge of Glacier National Park. We're in, if you want to look it up on a map, in Babb, B-A-B-B, Montana, right on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. And we have Verizon as our provider. This story will be uploaded. And, you know, a podcast is a lot of bandwidth. It will be uploaded, as I do every week when we're on the road. My podcast gets uploaded so you can listen to it on the Verizon network. It will do so now. I'm getting all my email, doing all my research, updating the blog and social media. But not so all of those other campers out here who have T-Mobile or Sprint or AT&T. They're all trying to hang around my RV and piggyback off my Wi-Fi system. Hey, I'm letting them do that, so I'm not really upset with it. In fact, I love to say, hey, that is why Verizon is the sponsor. I'm so delighted to have Verizon as a sponsor and why it's the only network I use, because it is solid connection. And I wish you could hear them all complaining. They're all saying, oh, it's so great, but I can't get my email, or I can't send a picture to my kids. Those of us who have Verizon can. Hey, it's time to check in with our pal from Verizon, Steve Van Dinter. Hey, Steve, what's going on this week?
Hi there, Mike. Well, summer is all about being outdoors. And what do we bring with us outside to capture those experiences? Why, our smartphones, of course. So what have you done to ensure your prized possession will stay protected? A case is one thing, but what about a phone that gets stolen or goes swimming unexpectedly while you're boating? With Total Mobile Protection from Verizon, you're covered. What I love about this service is should the unexpected happen to your device, you can file a claim up to midnight Eastern and receive a replacement phone the very next day, including Saturdays. And if it's a spiderweb screen that ails your device, no worries. There are more than 270 locations in cities across the country that will fix a cracked screen in just a few hours for just a $49 deductible. No more needing to send in your device or set up an entirely new phone just because of one accidental drop. And for those with many people on their family plan, you can now cover up to 10 lines on an account for one low monthly cost with Total Mobile Protection Multi-Device. If you haven't enrolled in Total Mobile Protection, now is the time. Until July 14th, take advantage of open enrollment, which is open to anyone, even if you've had your phone for a while without. You can learn more about Total Mobile Protection at vzw.com/TMP. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot. Hey, if you would like to meet Steve and me, we have been talking, as you know, about cool traveling tech gadgets and gizmos for a couple of years now here on the RV Podcast. And what we thought would be really fun to do is to arrange a day and a time and a place where Steve would show up, I'll bring my RV, and we will hook up all these cool gadgets that we've been talking about and demonstrate them. And we found a date and we found a plan. So here it is, if you can make it. And maybe we'll do this in other parts of the country as we get along. But for now, the first one we're going to do is Thursday, July 27th. We will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan at our friend American RV. They're located right off Highway 131. Grand Rapids is a great destination. We're going to be there on a Thursday from about 4:03 to 7 p.m. or something like that. There'll be some refreshments and snacks. And we'll have all these gadgets that you can look at and see what they're like. The nice thing about Grand Rapids is you're only a little ways away from Lake Michigan and some gorgeous beaches and lots of places to camp there. So come see us on Thursday. Get an early start to your weekend. Come see us Thursday, July 27th. American RV. Steve Van Dinter will be there. He'll be bringing all of his gadget and gizmos with us, and we'll have them hooked up. You can get your hands on them, play them, and have a lot of fun. We'd love to meet you. Grand Rapids, Michigan, American RV, July 27th.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, we are going to talk today about a place that Jennifer and I stopped on the way out here to Montana. We came across Highway 94. And the way we find our off-the-beaten-path reports and many of the things is Jennifer will typically have her laptop open, and we'll look at our GPS or our map, and we will find a spot, you know, what's in that city? And in this case, the city we were picking was a city called Haver, and it's spelled H-A-V-R-E. Haver. It's in North Dakota, right on I-94. I'm sorry. Yeah. Is that not? No, it's on US 2. On US 2.
Montana.
Yeah, in Haver, Montana. Not North Dakota. Haver, Montana. And oh my goodness, did we have a great time in Haver, because it has one of the most unique things to look at that we've ever found.
An underground city. And it was fun having this tour, looking at all the historical things, hearing about the history of the area.
The whole town moved underground, I think it was 1905. It was in December. There was a devastating fire that wiped off, I think, 6-8 square. It's this little tiny town, so almost the entire town was burned down. And what did they say? A couple of drunks started it. They got kicked out of a bar.
Yeah, and they were vindictive, so they went back and
started
the logical
fire.
Thing to do is burn down the bar.
Well, it burned down the
bar. They kick you out for being rowdy?
Yeah, we'll show them a rowdy. As they kicked down, they burned down the whole town. And so here it is, December, and this is a pioneer town. It was started, you know, a lot of cowboys, a lot of soldiers there, and, of course, the railroad, the Great Northern Railroad. So it's got a pretty history of a lot of rowdiness.
And I think it was about 1889. For some reason, somebody dug some underground
rooms. They made some rooms and some tunnels underground. And part of it was for, the Chinese in the area, who they had brought in to build the railroad, they were mistreated. And so they kind of built this, they kind of went underground, literally. They had an opium den under there. And the cowboys said, hey, that's a great idea. So they built a bordello underground. And so that was like, 15 years before the fire. And somebody knew they had these tunnels under there. Well, this fire came through, and the whole town moved underground. While they rebuilt the town, they were waiting to get bricks. It was winter. They couldn't do much. They had really cool skylights.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the little cubes of glass were,
little
but obviously
tiles-like.
They're very durable, these glass blocks.
They made these little glass block-like tiles in the sidewalk for skylights. And then they just kept building rooms on. They put a meat market down there, a pharmacy down there.
Yeah, they had the dentist. They had everybody
down
there. A
bakery was down there. There were homes. People lived down there. And the point is this whole underground place is now tourable. And it's called the Haver Beneath the Streets in Haver, Montana, right on US 2. It is well worth a trip. The tours cost, I don't know, what are they, about... they're not much money.
Like they're about $8.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't remember
exactly how much it was.
They do 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. They do summer tours. I don't remember what the cost is. I think it was maybe $7 each. Maybe it's more, but whatever, it is worth it. It's about an hour-long tour, and you'll find there's lots of other stuff to see in Haver. And I love the story on how we can remember the name Haver.
Yeah, according to our tour guide said that there was a big guy and a smaller guy, and they were fighting over a woman. And after a certain period of time, the smaller guy said, "You can have her."
And so that's not really probably the way it came about. Apparently,
but that's
it's a
how
French
you remember.
Name. But that's how they
that's
said
how you
to remember
the
name.
Name.
So look, if you're headed west and you can come that US 2 route, which is a really fun route, nice, quiet. It's a good road, and it's some beautiful country. You want to make time to stop off the beaten path and tour Haver Underground in Haver, Montana. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's newest dealer and a third-generation family business located in the Lake Country, the chain of lakes country in north-central Minnesota, built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. Jennifer and I have been to Steinbring Motor Coach. We were so impressed by their staff and this awesome indoor showroom they have. Now, Steinbring has the best of all of the motorhomes that you can find. They are a licensed top 50 dealer for many, many years. They win awards and service many, many years. But what you want to look at is two different kinds of vehicles that they sell brand new. One, the high-end, beautiful Newmar Class A motorhomes. We've gone through them. They are gorgeous. Newmar is perhaps the best known brand in all of the motorhome industry. Steinbring is their exclusive dealer in the area for Newmar Class A motorhomes. And not long ago they said, well, we'd love to get a similar integrity and a similar image for a Class B motorhome. And they looked around and they said the only one they could choose would be Road Trek. That is the top of the line in Road Trek. So they picked Road Trek for their Class B dealers, and they sell brand new Road Treks. They have all of them on display. They have all the Newmar Class A's on display. Plus, they have a bunch of used vehicles, too. Class A's, Class B's, Class C's from Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, and many others. So check them all out. You need to go to Steinbring Motor Coach. I'll put a link under the show notes for this episode. Just look for Off the Beaten Path, and you'll see their link there. That's at roadtrekking.com/145. Check out their website, and next time you are in the Chain of Lakes area in suburban Minnesota, go to Steinbring Motor Coach. You'll want to check them out.
traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends this episode of the RV Podcast. Thanks to Jennifer for joining me, and we're going to go have some fun outside, huh?
Yeah, we're going to have Native American storytelling after dinner tonight.
And I think we've got time, because it doesn't get dark out here till about 10 o'clock at night. I think we can go out and see if we can get a couple pictures of some wildlife at sundown, huh?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
All right, so hey, that's what we're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do, but I want to thank you for putting us in your ears this week. This podcast is for you. It comes out new every single Wednesday morning. Do us a favor. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your player happens to be. And also, please note that we have a YouTube channel for all the videos we produce. Just go to YouTube and look us up. The channel address is RV Lifestyle on YouTube, and you can check out all of our RV Lifestyle videos. We're Mike and Jennifer Wendland. We want to say thank you so much for watching us. We'll see you out there road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.